In the name of the Lord, say hi, my brother from another mother. Hi, my sister from another mister. We can do one of these pound things. That's really awesome. But really, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Father, that you do all these wonderful and great things. That your love and your grace is upon us. That we have this blessing of this home that we can worship you. That we have incredible brothers and sisters dedicated to your call. That they would lead us in worship. That they would lead us in Bible studies. And Father, all the uncles and aunties that come here today. That we come here for one reason, and that's love. And Father, that's because you have loved us first. God, I just pray, Father, that you would give us the heart of thanksgiving, Lord. For, Father, at the heart of every Christian, that's where our hearts should be, in thanksgiving. Father, for we know that life is hard, and it's even harder without you. God, may your grace bless us today. Will you open our hearts? Will you open our ears? That we may truly embrace you for who you are. The Creator God, who loves us, who sacrificed his one and only Son, that we may have forgiveness of our sins, that we may be blessed through your Spirit, that we are edified through it, and God, that you have given us this body here at CCIC, specifically here in Impact. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your mercies and love, Lord. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. So today's lesson comes from Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at through verses 3 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And like I was saying, while they put it up, you know, these next 2 weeks are very special. We have come to this place where we're in the crossroads. This past weekend, we had our board meeting, our retreat. We spent like 12 hours in Monterey just to figure out what the next 10 years is going to look like at CCIC. And to be a part of that planning process was very humbling. To really see God's grace, how he has brought us from a simple fellowship, and I'll go over through this history of CCIC a little bit later, but how we went from a simple fellowship to have the church we have before us today. And even, you know, plans in the future to make another church somewhere either north or somewhere east. And these are the blessings that I'm talking about. Because God doesn't stop. God never stops. God is always pursuing us. God is always pursuing the lost. And as such, we facilitate these things. And it's an incredible blessing to share with you guys today. But now it's up here. So let's read God's word together. We'll do a answer and a response. So I'll read the first verse and you guys can follow. And we'll go back and forth. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Verses 3 to 14. And the Bible says, We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Amen. Because of the hope laid upon you in heaven, of which previously heard in the word, the gospel. Amen. Verse 7. Just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Amen. And for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Man, that's I love that verse. Verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for attaining all the steadfastness and patience and joyously. Amen. Amen. Verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Amen. 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 This is the heart of every Christian. You know, if you ever come to Bible's prayer meeting, what do we always start off with? Do we start off with God help me with this? Or how do we start off? You guys know? What was that? Amen. Thanksgiving. And why do we have Thanksgiving? Because it prepares our hearts and minds to really come before God, to understand who he is. If we're angry, if we're mad, if we're jaded, it's hard to experience God because our feelings are in the way. And that's why this is what the challenge is. God bless you, gentlemen in the back. I hope I don't speak too fast. Anyway, like I was saying, we're so blessed. We're so blessed because of what God has done. And a lot of times we take that for granted. And that's what today is all about. This week and next week, we're going to really focus on Thanksgiving and why we ought to be thankful. And so today, as we just read in Colossians chapter 1, but also this is also repeated in such a way in chapter 2 in verses 6 and 7. It says, so then just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and build up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught. And then what I love, this last part of the verse, and overflowing with thankfulness. And the one phrase that I want you guys to take away today, the one thing that I want you guys to understand more than anything today, is at the beginning of Colossians chapter 1, 7. It says, we always thank God. And I think you would agree, and especially in these next particular 2 weeks, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Right? We have a home, we have a house, we have a place where we can worship God. This is something that we take for granted time and time again. Today I'm going to, so if you guys don't know, my brother was here. He does work in China, or he used to be based in China, and they kicked him out, and now he's in Taiwan. Yes. He's probably in the adult congregation right now. And so I had prepared a sermon, and I prepare early in the week, but my brother shared some really powerful, powerful things last night. And I was up till 4 in the morning rearranging my sermon because I was like, I have to share what he shared with me because it was incredible. You know, if you ask Connie, she's like, you guys are making too much noise downstairs. Because it was really powerful. But so we're here today. And let's get to the heart of it. Because we do have so many things to be thankful for. Literally, right? We're on the cusp of celebrating 10 years. 10 years here in the Tri-Valley area as a pillar of who God is in his righteousness and his grace. Literally being the city on the hill, the lighthouse in the storm. God has blessed us, calling your families, calling your brothers, your sisters. Look around you. God has all called us to this place, and we ought to be thankful. There's so many other churches out there, so many other places where you can try to fill your life with stuff. But here at CCIC, you know, what I'm going to share with you about our commitment level here, from the co-workers to the elders and everyone else. There's so many reasons to be thankful for. So that's why we're here today. That's what this is all about. To understand what God's grace is all about, and to understand what CCIC Tri-Valley has been doing for the Chinese community here in this area. We are so blessed. So, what Paul is doing here in this chapter is he's calling on the Colossian believers who have come into faith. He tells us that as a result of the ministry of Epaphras, whom he mentions, right? He was a fellow servant, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, and that he established this church in Colossae. And you know what? I'll share a little bit later. I'm so excited about our history. Because God did call these specific men to do great work here. And that's why we have our church. So, as all of this is being recognized, right, Paul writes to them and that church, And he says, it is all because that Jesus has come to them. That Jesus called them out, and Jesus called them personally, you are my child. How many guys here today believe that you are a child of God? Amen. And you ought to believe that's a gift from God as well. Because if you don't know him personally as your own Lord and Savior, we're missing the big picture. Because this can be a fun place. We have lots of fun. Next week, Friday, you know, it's going to be even more fun because we have all these celebration things. We're going to have another game night on Friday night. We have all these events on Saturday. We watch videos. We'll cut cake. Sunday, we have all our brothers and sisters from all the other CCIs coming out. It's going to be a good time. And lots of good food, too. But this is not why we're here. Because we want to come before God and just say thank you. Just as Paul is doing here. Because these brothers in Colossae had come to faith. Brothers and sisters, mind you. Right? And now Paul writes to them because he recognizes what Jesus has become to them. And in these past few months, I honestly must say, I've seen a lot of you guys grow. When I see you guys come into baptism class and have all these questions about who God is and what he means in your life, I'm highly encouraged because I know the Spirit of God is working in this place right now. And just as Paul is teaching them and he's saying all these things, he's telling them the number one thing that all Christians have to have. The number one thing that's the hallmark of every Christian, at the heart of every Christian. Because you know why we're thankful? First and foremost, because God loves us. How much does he love us, the Bible says? Well, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Never once did Jesus say, you have to be perfect to come to me. Never once did Jesus say, hey, you need to get to this level in your Christianese, right? What I mean Christianese is the way you act, the way you talk, and all the things that are Christian culture. You don't have to get there. He says, come as you are because I love you. Man. And as Steve Dale shared a couple weeks ago, Pastor Steve Dale, man, how do we know unconditional love that Jesus tells us? How do we know forgiveness that is so great, right, that anything we can do can be forgiven? There's no unpardonable sin. There's nothing that we can do, as the Bible says, that can take us from the love of God. Not our sin, not the enemy, not circumstances, not anything. Because God's love is truth. Amen? Amen. And that's where he is. Paul is trying to make his brothers and sisters believe, hey guys, you guys are called by God and that is a special, special thing. And that's why he says we all ought to have a grateful heart. He also says it in chapter 2, verse 7, that when people, right, it's kind of like this idea, like, you know, certain people act a certain way and talk a certain way, you kind of figure out who they are. So, like, you know, if you're walking with a cup of water and someone bumps you, what happens to that cup of water? That water spills, right? And you see, well, similar to us, we are the vessel of God's love. And as we walk, and if someone bumps into us, what's supposed to happen? God's love is supposed to be poured out. In fact, in the Bible, it says this, the way that David says this, man, my cup is overflowing, God. You got to stop. Literally, I cannot handle this much blessing. You're making me go crazy because of your love for me. I want to experience that kind of love. Do you not? My son this morning was having a bad day. You know, and he wasn't listening to mom, and he was getting yelled at. I said, come here. I said, Keone, I love you. Come here. And I hugged him. I said, man, son, I get it. It's hard sometimes. And you don't want to do what mommy tells you. And you want to do all these other things. But I told him, I love you. And why did I do that? Because I want him to know that it's okay. Even when things are bad, even when things aren't clear, it's okay. And just like that, so that when he's overwhelmed with my love, when he feels that love so great, nothing but good things come out of him. And I'm praying that's the case. Because that's what I learned. If you have an obedience problem with God, it's because you have a love problem with God. You don't recognize his love for you. and all the things that he calls us to do. And that's why Paul says it this way, that everything about you, in every way, we say thank you, God, and that we are thankful. So let's be clear. The Christians in Colossae, the church in Colossians, as a result of their union with Jesus Christ, they are to be overflowing with thanksgiving. Those of you guys who call yourselves brothers and sisters, those of you guys who call yourselves Christian, how thankful are you? So today we're going to go over 3 points. The first point is our foundation for thanksgiving. The next point is there's a big distinction between worldly thankfulness, right, and graceful thankfulness. And then the last idea is, how do we express this thankfulness? Because God calls us to do things. God's love is a selfish kind of love because he says, love me and only me. Love me first. And why? Because when I empower you with my spirit, you guys are going to do great things. Jesus said it as much. He told his disciples, the Jesus who did all the miracles, the Jesus who raised the dead, the Jesus who did all, gives like the spitting blood and rubbing, you know, mud in the eye and see the blind man see. The ones who said, who had leprosy, the scales came off their skin. The God who did all these miracles, he told his disciples, you guys are going to do greater things than I. What? But that's the point. Because that's how God works in that way. He empowers us, he gives us stuff so that we can do other things. And that's what it is. But this all starts with thanksgiving. So the foundation, the first point, the foundation of our thanksgiving. Paul says it this way. Just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, right? He says, similarly in verse 6 in chapter 1, because that's 2:6, he says it this way. He says his gospel has come to you. And as a result of coming to you, you guys bore fruit, as scripture says. And ever since that point, ever since he heard it, he understood that God's grace and God's truth is upon them. And this is the truth for all Christians. You really say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Great. I don't doubt you. But you know what God is going to say? You really love me? You really follow me? You really think you are mine? Well, look at your fruit, right? The Bible says it's so clear. Like, oh, what do you mean fruit? Like, how do you know it's an orange tree? How do you know it's a pear tree? How do you know it's an apple tree? How do you know what kind of tree is a fruit is, or a tree is, right? It's because of the fruit it produces. So if we are Christian, then we ought to have some kind of thing where we produce this thankfulness, we produce these good things that God has given us. Because do you really understand what this is all about? Because he's describing what every Christian faces when they come to Jesus Christ. It's a conversion. It's a difference. It was night, now it's day. I couldn't see, I was blind, now I can see. It's describing a non-believer who has no faith, who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, coming to a place where saying, wow, I see Jesus now, and I want to give my life to him. This is not, oh, I just want to become a better person. This is a radical transformation. Because what is the Bible saying is, here were these individuals in Colossae, they were going a certain way, this trajectory in life. But when they encountered Jesus Christ, things changed. And now they're going this way. Only through the power of God can we change our lives in such a way. We are creatures of habit. We tend to be stuck in certain ways. We tend to be stuck in the way we think. We tend to be stuck in the way we behave. But this is a dramatic shift. It was only because of Jesus Christ coming to them. Epaphras, who was doing all these things, hey, guys. You know that Old Testament prophecy of a Messiah? You remember that Old Testament prophecy of that the stone, that the keystone that the builders refused, or the stone that the builder refused will be used as a key cornerstone? All these things, I wouldn't, because these Jewish people learned it their whole lives, all of tradition. even before there was a written language, from father to son, teaching them over and over again. It was part of their DNA to know these stories. And Epaphras went over there and said, hey, you know those stories? Everything that you remember, and you got to remember, the intertestamental period between Old Testament and New Testament were over 600 years. God did not talk to a prophet in all of that time. That's a long time to be waiting for God. And I want to share the song In His Time. We sang that so much. It's so relevant and so true. It's all about God's timing. So my joy is when you guys come to Christ, but I know it's all in His timing too. But He's saying, look, because of all these things, because of the promises that you already know, He says, that was Jesus. He was the one on the cross. He was the one bearing our sacrifice. He was sin. The man who knew no sin became sin itself, as the Bible says. How hard is God going to go against His own Son? So hard that He's going to give Him up on the cross for you and me. That no longer do they have to fear about life. No longer do they have to question about their identity or where they were going, because it's okay. Because even when life is hard, I trust my Father. And that's where it's at, because it's hard. Life is hard without God. We can tend to think, man, this Christian life is so hard. Man, I don't want to do it because it calls me to do all these other things. And I would challenge you and say, hey, is that real? What was your life before you had God? What kind of insecurities, what kind of thoughts did you have about your own identity? I know for me, I had to fight every day. I shared with you. I never knew the love of my Father until I was 20-something years old, when my dad first time said, I love you, son. I grew up this whole time not knowing what life was about. I just thought I had to be smart and do these things just to get to the next step in life. And I missed the whole picture because, yeah, that's part of it, studying and all. But the real part of life is understanding that my life is with Jesus Christ. That I always have backup. That I always have someone who's going to be my champion. In fact, so much so that when I go to heaven, and because of all my sins, I'm dirty. And before God, He's going to see me and say, hey, I don't see you. I don't see your sin. I see my Son in you. That's the good news, my brothers and sisters. And that's why I wonder how many of us really understand this story, because we trivialize God in our attitudes, in the way we think. We come to church as a habit. We don't think, God, I come here to worship you because you are worthy. And I get it, we're young. And that's why sometimes we have to refocus our thoughts. Come to a place where we understand who God is. Why we're thankful. That's the good news of the gospel. The fact that Jesus had come on our behalf, that He lived a life that we couldn't live. He bore the sins that we couldn't do, but He did everything in the righteous way, yet He took our penalty. So why do we have confidence in our lives? How can we face the challenges in lives? Even in the prospect of death? Because Jesus overcame it all. I am fine. You know, I don't want to die tomorrow. I don't, because I have two little ones and I want to see them grow up to godly men and women. That's my dream. I don't care if they become rich. I don't care how successful. I want them to be godly men and women first. And if I do that, and I see you guys grow up in godly men and women, you know, I say, okay, God, my work is done. I don't mind going home. I don't mind spending eternity with you in heaven. Because that's where our hearts are. We want to be with Jesus Christ. We want to be with God. And that is what I'm all about. And I pray that that's what you guys are all about. Because truth is, yes, life is hard. Yes, things are going to be thrown at you. And you're going to feel pressure like no one else. Those of you guys who are young, you guys kind of know it now. Wait till you get to high school. Wait till you start have to run college application. Wait till you start taking all the real SATs and all these other things, not the junior high one. I'm talking about high school one that really matters to the college you go. You're going to feel real pressure. How do you overcome these things? Yeah, I'm smart enough. Okay, good. You're always going to do good in all your tests? You know, some of the most revealing things that I hear from you guys is when you come into prayer meeting and say, yeah, I failed this test, but it's okay. And I say, wow, that's so refreshing to hear. Because now we understand that, yes, grades are important. I'm not saying they're not. But there's a bigger picture to life. And this is what the Lord Jesus is telling them. Because there's nothing we can overdo that we can overcome by ourselves. Nothing we can overcome in this world by ourselves. We can use our talents. How far will your talents go at you? Because the more you use your talents, the more you have to prove yourself. And you're going to be super task-oriented because now you did this good. Well, what are you going to do next time? Well, you have to do it this better next time. Well, you do it this better next time, where are you going to have to go? Your life is going to be hard, always having to prove yourself over and over again. You don't believe me? Ask some of these seniors out here. Ask them why they go to band practice. Ask them why do they play the piano. Ask them why they do all of these things. Why? Because they feel the pressure of having to do better and better and better. And there's no grace. And this is what Paul is telling us. Because prior to this experience, prior to this encounter with Jesus Christ, as described in verse 21, because he says, you guys are aliens to this world. You guys were aliens to aliens to God. In fact, you weren't only aliens. You weren't foreign to God. You were God's enemy. Each and every one of us, if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are enemies of God. Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. And the enemy takes our identity. He takes our intellect. He takes our talents. He takes all of these things and he twists us up and we get confused on who we are. We lose our identity and we feel like I have to be this when we're that. But that's the truth. And we live this. I told you I was going to share you some things about my brother. And like I said, I had a certain thing, but I felt like I had to share this. He told me this last night, and I was, whoa. So I'm not allowed to say what he is, but you kind of figure it, don't say it out loud, what he is in China. It's because of his company, as they call it, and because of all the spies and everything that's happening over there, he doesn't want to be recognized. He's really high up, like really high. Like he, not only China, Thailand, like he, like, East Asia is his domain. He's one of these guys up there. He speaks, I told you, 4 or 5 different languages. Smart guy. I wish someone that came up to me. But smart guy. And he shared this with me. And he's all like, you know, I said, you know, it's challenging sometimes to be a pastor. He's like, Chuck, do what I do. I was like, yeah, I get it. And then we got to talking. He's like, there was several times he was going to quit doing what he's doing because of the circumstances that happened. And I'm going to make everything this, you know, this coming to Jesus Christ, knowing salvation and forgiveness, I'm going to make it real to you right now. So when he first got to China, he went and there was this person. He didn't know how to speak Chinese yet, or Mandarin yet. And so he prayed when he got there, Lord, give me someone who I can translate. Please help me. So he did. He came in there, and there was this lady who went to Texas, who was evangelized and all these things, but she moved back to China for some reason, and she owned a tea shop. She was making lots of money in that tea shop and all these things. But she's like, I can help you. God made that connection for him. Well, one of the first ministry opportunities he had was with this one lady who shared with the lady that the translator that my brother hooked up with. And basically, this lady said, I need you to meet with this lady that's my friend, and she really wants to meet you. So my brother said, okay, cool. She goes to his house. And there in the middle, so he doesn't know anything, why he's there or anything like that. But in the middle of the house is a coffin. And the coffin was the husband of that lady, who passed away. Like literally, she said, they were just walking, and he just fell dead as he was walking. But she just became a new believer. And he kept saying, God, God, she kept telling my brother, you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Then resurrect him. Pray for resurrection. And my brother's like, oh my gosh. Like, he told them, you know, in the Bible, it's very specific. When Jesus resurrected people, there was a specific reason why he did that. To show his power, to show his grace, one of these things or another. But it was God's will to resurrect. Right? Now, my brother, he fully believes in the power of Jesus Christ, but he says there has to be a purpose for this, not because you want to. Okay? So he says, and he explains this to this lady. So he says, Lord, and she starts praying, Lord, if it is in your will, if there's purpose in your heart right now, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, you resurrect this man. Nothing happens. He says, pray harder, pray harder, the lady says. He says the same prayer over and over and over again. To the point where he looks at the lady and says, you know, I don't want to offend you, but this is something that, and he explains again, if this is the will of God, it's going to happen. But it's not because I want it or because you want it. Month passed. After a month, finally she goes, okay, I'm going to cremate the body. And this is where the story gets real. Because as they were going to go cremate, the lady says, go ask my brother to come back. I want to talk to him. And so he goes there. And then he says, it's pretty crazy because half of them wearing red belt and red thing, and the other half was pink and pink thing. And then he's like, oh, this is kind of weird. I don't understand. And he was in a black suit. You know, he's American. Like, you know, funeral, but this is not America. And he's so sore. He sticks out like a sore thumb. Okay. And he goes, hey, I don't understand. What is this and what is this? And it said something. He said, I don't know exactly. He's like, these people represent 70-year-old people. These people, either red or the pink. And these people represent 80 years old. And it was actually a Buddhist ceremony. My brother had this crazy feeling in his heart. But the funny thing was, those half was Buddhist, but the other half were Christians. And so my brother said, as the procession was going down, these people, band or people who were playing music, were playing all these crazy, and he's like, it's the most irritating sound. Nothing matched. It was like cymbals and gonging, and like not, it wasn't like real music. And inside his heart, he's like, oh, this is something weird. So what happens is, he goes, what is that? And then he said, the Christians in the group all made this mad face, like, oh, right? And then he goes, oh. Then they realize, oh, this is Christian group. Because they were playing Buddhist music, or I don't know. He said something to that effect. And then they started playing like hymnals, like Christian songs and stuff like that. So as they were going in into the place where they cremate the body, you know, the lady started freaking out. And she opened the coffin, beating on the guys. I can't live this life without you. I can't. Wake up, wake up. And he's telling my brother, pray for resurrection, pray for resurrection. And my brother says, he looks at the lady and says, I will pray for you. And he says, Lord, the peace that transcends all knowledge and all wisdom, I pray for your peace over this woman who has lost his son, who has lost her husband, rather. Help him, have her peace. And my brother said, wow. And just like that, she went from this kind of like, you know, when you're overly emotional, you can't, and you're ugly. I call it the ugly emotion because you don't look right. She went from that to a calm demeanor. And literally, he felt like God's spirit covered her. Now, after all of this, he realizes something. As he was going into this place of cremation, he just felt overwhelming sense of darkness. Because all he sees is poof, black smoke, poof, black smoke. More and more black smoke, poof, 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 poof. Because literally, in his mind, these are souls burning. This is where it gets real, my brothers and sisters. Because you know why, too? At funerals, again, he says, they put firecrackers, right? And what are firecrackers for in Chinese tradition? ward off bad spirits, right? And he even said, as the firecrackers, he saw all these black smoke. He was broken. He said, God, as one man, how do I serve all of China where there's 3 billion people? How do I serve China when they don't know you and they don't want to know you? How can I make a difference in this place? And he was broken because every black smoke, every poof, 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 poof that he saw was another soul going to hell. This is where it gets real. He was so broken, he said, he went to his higher-ups, and he had to go through a lot of counseling after that point because he realized, wow. But then the truth came out. The truth about salvation, the truth about his work, the truth about life in general with Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus and what he did. And my brother said, you know, just as Paul does, my grace is sufficient for you. Look to me in everything. He was encouraged and he came back to life. But the reality is, those of us who call upon the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I'm talking both ends, right? Not just, Lord, Lord, save me, but really under his discipleship, under his helmet, under his place. And this is my push for 2020, 2009, that we would all become disciples of Jesus Christ. Because that's the next step. It's easy to say, God, I need your help. It takes work to become his disciple. But that's where it was, because when he saw all these puffs of smoke, he saw all the people dying without Jesus Christ. Do you not have a reason to be thankful if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior? You don't have to worry about an eternal death. You have life abundance always in Jesus Christ, in this world and especially in the next. We get to spend an eternity with heaven. Earlier I told you, God, I don't mind if I have to die. I do mind because I need to see you all get baptized. I need to see all you guys come to Jesus Christ, because that's why I love you guys and that's why I'm here. But same with my own son and my own daughter. If I do that, unless God, that's what the vision God gave me. But if he calls me to something else, something different, then maybe, you know, I'll live longer. That's the truth. Because when God calls us, there's nothing we can do. God, 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 10 more minutes. No, son, time to go. No, God. But unless we say, God, take me. It's like, no, son, you still have more work to do. And that's the relationship I'm talking about. That's the confidence we have to overcome this world. See, we often miss this point in life. We think it's about doing stuff, accomplishing stuff, you know, becoming the best you that you can be. Yeah, that's part of it. But the major part is understanding what God is doing in our lives. Because at the heart of every Christian, the song of every Christian is a song of thanksgiving. One of the real indications of how a person is really touched by Jesus is really if they're overflowing with thanksgiving. If you know someone who says, oh, I love Jesus, but always mad, I don't know. There are things that they have to work out with God maybe, right? But the truth is, we're all supposed to be thankful. Like I said, you come to prayer meeting, what do we always share? Do I share our problems first? No. We always start with thanksgiving. And that's the distinction that leads me to the next point, right? Because there's worldly gratitude and there's gracious gratitude. And there's a difference. Okay? Because worldly gratitude starts with stuff. God, thank you because I have a nice house. Thank you because I have lots of money. Or it's like even to your friends. They're nice to you. They give you something. Hey, dude, thanks, man. Someone gives you a dollar. You don't have lunch. Lunch is not a dollar. It's like $5 here. You know, you're at school. You don't have money. You can't buy lunch. And say, yeah, I got you. And someone, thanks. It starts with stuff. You know what gracious gratitude is? It doesn't start with stuff. It starts with God first and foremost. It starts with God. Now, I'm going to share something a little bit more about my family and my wife and some of the things we go through. There's times when I'm not loving to my wife. there's times when I'm really mad and I'm overwhelmed. I don't know if you guys have parents who fight in front of you. I hate that I do that in front of my children. There's times when I'm really, really mad at my wife. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And sometimes I'm overwhelmed, and anger, malice, these nasty things come out of my mouth, and I make my wife feel like this big. And I broke that relationship with her. I don't know if you guys know what I'm saying. Like, someone hurts you so much that, oh, I don't want to be with you. Husband and wife don't have a choice. But to them, like, oh, why did I marry you? This, my wife said that to me. Right? You know how we get back? So the last time we were fighting, and we were at it, I blamed her for all my failures. She blamed me for all the things that's wrong in her life. And we were mad at each other. How do you restore a relationship? How do you restore when I'm so mad at you, I can't see anything but red? How do you restore something? I'm so mad at you. Oh, I want to punch you in your face. No, Connie doesn't punch. I want to scratch your face. How? You know, and this is when we said, and I told you this, how do you get over bad things? Start counting your blessing. I have had, I say, Connie, okay, I'm sorry. Whatever. And she said, I'm sorry, whatever, right? I said, okay, let's get down to it. Let's think, let's count our blessings. This is how we do it. Because in the book of Ephesians, it says, how do we submit to one another? We're not really submitting to one another. The Bible says, submit to one another as you're submitting unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, okay, honey, let's start counting our blessings. It started off like crap. Whatever. I'm thankful I'm alive. Generic one, right? Oh, man, whatever. I'm thankful that we have one boy and one girl. Like, really trivial things, right? But actually, that's a really good Thanksgiving. Now we don't have to have any, because we're complete. We're a family. You know? And then, as we kept going, it became more real. I said, hey, wait. No. I am thankful that you're my wife. How do you go from I hate you to I am so thankful that we are together. You know, Jerry Maguire, you complete me. That's the moment we had. We cried, we loved, we loved each other. Not we loved, we loved each other. We gave us embrace. And we kissed, and I said, honey, I'm so sorry. And at that moment, why did we forgive each other? Because we realize how much God forgave us. We are all sinners, my brothers and sisters. And that's why there's a great distinction between worldly gratitude for stuff, saying, God, thank you, or not even saying, God, thank you, but, hey, buddy, thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for doing this. You know, and it turns into something much more deeper, much more passionate. Gracious gratitude recognizes I have a reason to be grateful because God is good. It doesn't matter if it's a good day, bad day. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or sunny, whether I have a job or I don't have a job, whether I have cancer, where I'm cancer-free. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because you're not looking at your situation. You're looking to God and saying, God, I thank you. That's the distinguishing mark of a Christian. You don't look at your circumstances because it is hard. The Bible says life is tough. You follow me, you're going to get persecuted. But there's these incredible blessings in following God. And that's why we can have thankfulness. That's why we can say, God, even in this time of hurt, even in this time of sorrow, I recognize you for the things you've already done. And even though I'm suffering now, it's okay, God. Because I know you're in control. And I trust you. But all of this takes one thing. You know what it takes? Starts with an F and ends with eighth. Amen. Do you have faith, my brothers and sisters? Because when you have faith, you can overcome a lot of things. the hardships in your life, the struggle. You know, I told you when my grandmother died, I was messed up because I saw her, the last time I saw her, she's praying to Buddha. I was like, Grandma, you're on death's doorbed. What are you doing? And I was crying out to God, help her. And on her deathbed, and I do believe she did accept Christ because we were all laying hands on her. And there are a few things where, you know, like I said, when I got there, she gave me 10 minutes with her and she passed away. I really believe that. Because it doesn't matter what's happening. Because the love that God gives us, the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, guides us to the next step. God makes us strong in that way. That the previous step in our life, in our disposition, what we're going through, leads us to the next step in life. And such is a Christian walk. You know, spiritual formation is not pretty. Everyone thinks it's a nice curved line that goes straight up like this, right? Nice and even. No, spiritual formation is one step forward, three steps back. Sometimes you go and you go more back, and then you try to take one step and you go more back. But then at a certain point in your life, you come to maturity. And that's what I pray for you all, that you can recognize God in everything. And that leads me to my last point. How this gratitude expressed. I ask you, how do you express your gratitude? What is your love language? Do you do things for people? Do you compliment them? What do you do? What do you do? Let me ask you guys. How do you show someone that you love them? Joseph? You sacrifice. Remember, we went over this on Friday, right? How do you show someone you love them, Audrey? You do what? You help them out. You support them. Amen. What about you guys? Answer it to yourself. How do you show someone that you love them? Because I'll tell you how in response. And this is another reason why you ought to be thankful. Those of you guys know, Elder Miles, I'm going to use you as an example. I love you, my brother. Your life is a testimony. God bless you. Okay, folks, let's focus here. I love this man. I love him a lot because he shows me things that I don't see in most Christian leaders. So driven, so passionate, and he is driven and passionate. I meet with him 2-3 times a week, and I know as much. He is a tiger. He is. What I mean by tiger, he knows how to command things and work things. But do you know what Uncle Miles is suffering from? Do you guys know? Not old age. Uncle Miles is a young man. He's going to live forever. God's never going to be done with him. Amen. But Uncle Miles, not only is he running his own businesses. Not businesses. He's a titan, I'm telling you. Businesses. People want his help. And so does the church. Even in his busy struggle and all these things, he makes time for church. If that was it, we can look at Uncle Miles as, wow, he's a stand-up guy for Christ. But a lot of things we don't recognize. And I pray a lot more for him now because of that. Because he's a little bit more tired. He's a little bit more this. And he feels a little bit more weaker. And I pray for his strength on a daily basis because I love him. He has Parkinson's. It's a degenerative disease that will only get worse and worse and worse. When I first met him and I heard about this, I was like, wow, Uncle Miles, tell me. What is it? What is it? You want to know why you ought to be thankful, everyone? This is what he told me. I know now, more than I knew before, that my time is limited. It's easy when you're faced against a wall to just say, okay, I'm just going to live for me. I'm going to do everything that I want to do. No. Uncle Miles can enjoy his life, go to the Bahamas, well, not the Bahamas now, but, you know, go someplace and enjoy his life, and no one would say anything. But you know what he tells me? I have this much time. This much time, I need to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to serve him with all my heart, with all my might, with all my strength. With everything that I am, I'm going to serve you, God. That's our Uncle Miles. He loves you guys through and through. He has, not that he would have better things to do, because you guys are very important, but there are other things he can do. But he values you guys. He says you guys are worthy, because why? God has given me the spirit of love. He has given me this grace, and I want to instill it to all of you guys. That's just one. Look at your uncles and aunties. How much they sacrifice for this ministry. Look at them. They don't get paid to do what they do. Uncle Glenn is amazing. Uber genius. He does all these great things. He's so creative. I would never have done the live, you know, survey and all these things. You guys are incredibly blessed to be here. Because every Uncle Paul here, you know, on Fridays, you know, he works all the way in San Jose and he finishes work late. He does his very best to fly here in like 2.5-3 hours after a full day's of work, having to fight traffic. I know me, I'm in traffic. But after all of that, he comes in here. You don't see him complaining. You only see smiles. Same with Uncle Miles. Only smiles and only love. Why? Because he's saying, you guys are worth it. You guys got to know. You guys got to know. You guys got to know. Church history. Like, we are so blessed. Who would have thought a bunch of Chinese brothers and sisters in San Jose State, okay, this is not Palo Alto, not Stanford, not Berkeley, not any of these places, but San Jose State, where a bunch of brothers said, hey, we need a fellowship because you know what? There's something not right. There's no Chinese churches. There's no churches for us where we can feel real. Like, I can fully express, because they were going to all these American churches, because it's San Jose State, right? And they're going to all these, and they started a fellowship. And out of that fellowship, you know how many churches we have?
Five.
Try again.
Seven. Six.
Let's count them. First we go Tri-Valley, North Valley. No. San Jose Central, South Valley, Cupertino, Sunnyvale. There was one more in Gilroy, but unfortunately, God had his own plans for that. You guys got to understand, these brothers and sisters that laid the foundation for you guys, that we are blessed some 30, 40, 50 years later, that we can celebrate our own 10-year anniversary. God is good, amen?
Yeah.
So I ask you, what are you guys thankful for in this season? What are you guys thankful for? Because this is the reality. This is how you know I'm not just preaching out of my mouth. That this is alive and well spirit of God living through each and every one of us. Because you got to look at Uncle Miles. Someone who I highly respect and I take his wisdom as gold. Literally, I value that. Even though some of our conversations are really hard, I value that. Look at to your uncles and aunties and the sacrifices that they made. Auntie Alice isn't here, so I'm going to share something. No.
What?
You know, last week she came in and she was broken. She felt like, wow, no one appreciates the ministry that she works at. You know, she comes in here 2 times a week, not just on Sunday and the weekdays. No other coworker does that. And why? Because not only does she come in to talk to me to get on the same page and everything like that, but she comes here to serve the adult congregation too. She does all the PowerPoint. She does all the announcements. She prints them out and she folds it. She puts in like 3 or 4 hours extra each day. It's not like she doesn't have other things to do, but she volunteers that time. Why? She says, you guys are worthy. I love you guys, but you gotta understand, Auntie Alice, you know her, right? She's really loud. God bless her, I love her to death. but even that is her passion for you guys, because she wants you to grow up right. Okay? This is why we have this celebration. This is why we recognize God. Next week, we're going to make it a little bit more personal because it's going to be about your thanksgiving to God. I just shared what the church, what the body, our uncles, our aunties, our leaders, even myself. You know, I'm never going to say you guys aren't worth my time. But you guys got to understand something too. Sometimes in some weeks, I spend more time with you guys than my own family. I love you guys, don't get me wrong. But I love my son, I love my daughter, and I love my wife. And I do miss them sometimes. There's sometimes we're having so much fun. I was like, and I daydream like, oh, what would Keone look like in this youth group? And I say, Keone, you're going to be first team? No, I don't want to play instrument. I say, what are you going to do? AV. I love you. But that's what it is here. My brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Take heart. We have many reasons to be thankful for. But the number one thing is that if you have called upon the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And don't lose hope. For those of you who have not come to that place in your relationship yet with God, don't worry, because God's not done with you yet either. God is always pursuing us. God is always loving us, even when we don't see it. But believe that God will come into your lives. Pray with me. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you so much that we do have so much things to be thankful for, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have given us this hope and this opportunity here at CCIC Tri-Valley. And as we embrace our celebration and our anniversary, Father, we know that you are not done with us yet. That, Father, we look to the next 10 years, 20 years. God, you look to us in our young age now, in our youth. But, Father, you call us to something much, much bigger. Father, I'm excited and I'm encouraged to see where all our young brothers and sisters here and where their lives will go with you leading the way. God, as your word teaches us, Father, that if we're your disciples, that we're going to do even greater things than you who sacrificed your own son, who sacrificed yourself. So God, help us to have that attitude of gratitude. That we would look to you in all the things. And Father, not in the circumstances. Because that's a terrible way to be thankful. I only thank you because you give me good things. No, Father. We thank you because you have given us grace. That you have given us mercy. That you have given us forgiveness of sin. That we can come to you. Do the work. And not like Epaphras, but all our uncles, our aunties, our elders, our pastors who serve this youth group in Impact. God, help us to be mindful of the things that we don't necessarily always recognize. And Father, help us to show some love to our uncles and aunties, Father, for we are human too. May your grace cover us, Lord. May you protect us from the world. And Father, that you would strengthen us in our identity in Jesus Christ. We surrender all to you. We love you, Father. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.